with God's holy and infallible word still open before us, let us seek the Lord's face. A short moment of prayer. Eternal God and our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon thee on this Sabbath evening and say, Lord, have mercy upon us and help us, we pray. Help us to listen, open, we pray thee, those closed and cold hearts. Open the ears which have been closed to thy word. Give us understanding of thy word. And Lord, give me utterance to preach and speak thy word. Lord, grant, O Lord, I pray, my very own Father, forever, thy spirit, endue me with power from on high, to preach thy word with power. May it find entrance, that souls be saved and restored and lifted up tonight to the glory and to the praise of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son. Hear us, O God, for Jesus' sake only. Amen. As we've just read in Exodus 20, we have a people, 3.5 million, conservative estimate, plus all their animals, at the foot of this large mountain in the desert there. And they hear God's own voice speaking to them, booming out from the top of this huge mountain. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and they heard the sound of the trumpet. The frightening power, the dark cloud, which when it touched the mountain, the rock itself began to smolder. Think of that heat and of that fire and the beauty of holiness that we see here pictured. And we, like the Israelites, would be very afraid. And the law, as it were, towers over us as this mountain towered over the Israelites, threatening, as it were, looking, looming down upon us, speaking condemnation and damnation to the guilty and to the wicked. And yet this law, which we've just heard spoken, read out from Exodus 20, is good and holy. The problem is, we are not. We are wicked and unholy in the eyes of a thrice holy God. The Ten Commandments are also called the moral law. And some people say, well, they are part of the Old Testament. Well, that cannot be the case because they are repeated in the New Testament. In fact, the Lord himself summarizes them. He says in a portion in Matthew, and again he says it in Luke and Mark, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. And so we can see that these Ten Commandments can be called Ten Commandments of Love. That we should love our Creator God and our fellow being created in His image. But we are guilty of breaking them all. Either actually, and that may only be a smaller number than the ten, but actually in our thoughts and desires, many more are broken. And as we read through the Gospels, we'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ expounds the depth of the law, the spirituality of the law, that it is the intents and desires of the heart of sinful man that the Lord will also judge. You see, looking with lust at another person, the Lord sees that as adultery of the heart. And hate, however short-lived, be it 2 seconds in a bit of road rage or lifelong racism, God sees as murderous intent. God sees it as a spectrum. It begins with hate and it ends with the deed, if only the hater had the chance. But we see in Galatians 3 verse 24, and I'll just read it out for the time's sake. Wherefore, for this reason, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, the law educates us. It helps us to understand that we are all, without exception, lawbreakers, sinners in the sight of a holy God, and that this knowledge should drive us to Christ. Let us now turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. For Exodus 20 is not only a theological and historical background, but it's all the context of the preaching of today. The text itself will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So in this, our text for today, verses 9, 10, and 11, the Apostle Paul gives various specific examples of how these commandments are broken by the unrighteous. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. See, Paul also shows that where these believers have lived in deep immorality, yet through Christ they are washed of their sin, they are made holy for God, and they are justified in His eyes. And whereby they shall inherit, not might inherit, but they shall inherit the kingdom of God. That is, eternal life with the Savior. And so the title of this gospel message is, it's actually a command and an exhortation, an encouragement, but with a command. And it is, inherit eternal life. Inherit eternal life. And the first of 3 points is, deceived by sin. Deceived by sin. First of all, be not deceived yourself that this message is about somebody else. It concerns us all, in whichever state of grace we may be in. So, examine and listen to the words tonight and apply it to your own heart. Is this right concerning me? Don't slumber off. Oh, it's talking about that person. Don't stick the pointing finger of judgment at another. Because all these things that we've just looked at, in greater or lesser degree, come forth out of every human heart. But allow me to amplify and explain the verses that we read, verses 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians 6. So Paul says clearly, don't be deceived. And then he says this, those who are guilty of any sexual activity outside of a marriage between a man and a woman, that is a fornicator, nor those who worship any other God than Jehovah according to his word, that is an idolater, nor someone who breaks their marriage vows by committing adultery, even in the imagination, neither an effeminate or transsexual homosexual, nor sodomites who commit acts with the same, nor those who steal, nor those who are dissatisfied with and ungrateful for God's provision in their lives, and so have a jealous longing after somebody else's blessings, covetousness, and nor heavy drinkers and by extension drug abusers, nor those guilty of abusive slander, especially blasphemy, but also including gossip, nor those who obtain money by force and threatening, like criminal organizations do. Those guilty of these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And please notice that this is a short list. This is a selection. This is not everything. So we see in this three things. We see three groups, shall we say. We see the spiritually immoral, and they sin against God. And we think about sinning against God in that way, we think quite often of idolatry, false religion, false gospels. But spiritually immoral means also someone who's been untrue to the Lord, and that includes backsliders. See, a backslider, whether he knows it or not, is married to God. The Lord says so in his word, "Thou art married with me, backslider. You're united to Jesus Christ." And that is eternally the case. So you may turn your back on Christ, but he will not turn his back on you. You've become ensnared by the world, by sin, or just things that fill your life, which aren't necessarily in and of themselves wrong, but have taken the place of God. It might be a hobby. It might be a work. It might be a study. It might be something, but it's taken that place that on the throne of your heart, which only God should have. And so you might look at yourself as a backslider. You know that you're cold. You know you're not as warm as you used to be for the Lord. You know that you might be going through it as a ritual. And you think, "I'm a failure. I'm not the Christian I should be. I'm not the Christian I was." And so in that feeling of failure, you dare not come back to the Lord because, hey, I might fall back again. But herein lies the pit that you've fallen into, self-reliance. I can't do it. I can't bring it up within myself. I can't keep me. You're absolutely right. Neither can I. None of us can. Be not reliant on yourself, because in that self-reliance lives pride. I haven't been able to keep my walk with the Lord as I've wanted it or as other people would think I should. So you need to repent of the self-reliance, and you need to come back to your first love and come back to Christ, because he will accept you. But stop trying to rely on yourself. Stop trying to think, "I can do it in my own strength," because you can't. Cast all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. All your cares. "But Lord, I feel cold in my heart." Pray about it. "Lord, I can't keep reading my Bible every day." Ask him for help. "Lord, but I feel so cold and indifferent." Well, ask him to make you warm and very much interested in the things of God. So that's one example of the spiritually immoral. Secondly, the sexually immoral, which is a sin against the body mostly. Of course, against the Lord. And just taking one of these, homosexuals are mentioned in this text. We're not going to technically into what exactly it means here. But I felt moved to give a warning this evening. The whole propaganda of the homosexual movement is that we're born that way, and so we should do it. There is a whole argument between nature and nurture. Hey, I was born that way, or you've been changed that way. You've been changed by the people around you and what's happened to you. And I think those arguments, they just clash and nothing comes out of it. But I think both are true. You see, we're all born as moral, as spiritual perverts. We've all turned away from the way of God. We all seek out sin in various ways. It doesn't matter what name you call it. It doesn't matter what type it is. We're all born sinful. And that nurture, yes, we learn from others. We find out that the indwelling sin likes this and likes that. And then we get to like this and that. So it's really a false argument to say, "Hey, I'm born that way. That's the way the Lord made me. I should do it." Because the Lord does not say that about any sin. But I like lying and I'm very good at it. "Thou shalt not bear false witness." But if I steal, I'll have money and I'll be comfortably off. "Thou shalt not steal." But the warning I'd like to give is, despite the propaganda lies, and the propaganda is in full power at the moment, and it's even infiltrating the churches to a degree where people who are born again Christians will think quite often, "Well, it can't be that bad, and those people aren't too bad." It's not the people, it's the sin. It's the sin. And it's the sin that degrades society, it degrades people, and believer or unbeliever who struggles with this, it will degrade you and your body. You know, many people who are in that shameful lifestyle are abused and confused. and they will abuse and confuse you. You are fresh meat and be spat out. But remember what your true identity is in God, that He has created you for good things and for holy things. He has created you to love and worship Him as He has made you. So do not be confused, as people are confused these days about male and female and where you are in Christ. Seek your identity in Christ and not one little section of your emotional build-up, your sexuality. You're far more than that. And in Christ, you are a conqueror over the sinful part of that. And thirdly, we're looking here at socially immoral. There are sins against your neighbor, and just one that sprang to mind was gossip. You see, gossiping breaks many commandments in one go. I would say it murders somebody's reputation. Is gossip love? Ask yourself that. Is it a deed of love to your brother or sister in Christ? Nobody can answer yes. It is indeed a deed of hate, whether you feel it inside you or not. And you're stealing somebody's reputation. You're pulling them down, and there may be lies involved because, yes, you may have heard, although it's doubtful, but you may have heard exactly what they said. But do you know what they meant? Because those two things can be miles apart. And it sows discord. It separates. And God Himself says in Leviticus 19, verse 16, to His own people, and take it tonight that the Lord is speaking to you personally, because where you may not be a gossip, you quite actually like listening to it sometimes. The Lord speaketh, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer, as a gossip, among thy people, and neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. See how the Lord binds His own name to this warning, to His own people. In fact, Spurgeon says that it's a threefold poison. He says it hurts the teller, it hurts the hearer, and hurts the person they're gossiping about. And so we see that we're deceived by Satan, who works on us and in us. But we're also disinherited through sin, as a second point. You know, before somebody dies, they can go to a lawyer and have a last will and testament written up. And a few points about that, that when the person has made that testament, if your name is not in that will, you will not get anything that belongs to that person. For where a testament is, there must also by necessity be the death of the testator, and that is the person whose will it is. So nobody will inherit anything until the person has died. Of course, that is linked with Jesus Christ. So firstly, in this, we see the inheritance of the damned. See, thanks to this corruption and rottenness of our own souls, lives, hearts, deeds, we are unrighteous in the eyes of God. And those who are unrighteous are unable to inherit, because the names are not written in that last will and testament. They're not written in the Lamb's book of life. But they're also unwilling to inherit, because they're still unholy and do not desire the things of God. So there is no inheritance for the damned, for the unrighteous. But there is an eternity of punishment. And why? Well, for the sins of the sinner against his own creator. See, this sinner is without God and without hope in this world, and will enter eternity without God and without hope. You do realize that the judgment day will be the last bit of light that these people will see, that you will see if you're still in your sins, because then a good and righteous God will pass a good and righteous judgment over your wicked sins. The lake of fire and its eternal burnings await the unrepentant sinner, and he will bear punishment for his iniquity, transgressions, and sins. And he continues, hear this, he continues in a state of sin forever. He's still hating God. He's still blaspheming God. He's still desiring wickedness. He's forever sinning and forever burning for his sin. And this existence, the Bible calls in Revelation, the second death. So imagine this, hot, burning, dark fire all around you. A lake of black fire, burning, scorching, blistering, destroying and punishing. No light, no rest, no hope, no friendship, no end. A day after eternal day, year after eternal year, and after the first 10,000 years, still no hope of respite. Because the man is still sinning, the woman is still sinning, and she's still being punished. And eternity, my friends, means forever. So, unbeliever, this is a warning to you. Break with sin and be cleansed and be united with God in Jesus. Or God will break with you and you'll remain united to your filth and sin. And its punishment is for eternity. But then we have the inheritance of the saints. For the wages of sin is death, yes, we've seen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, by obeying the call of the gospel to stop hating God and hating righteousness and to turn to the one and only true Savior, we are cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. You see, by being born again, the Spirit of our God at conversion makes us spiritually be reborn as God's very own child. And God gives us faith. He gives us faith, and that faith unites us with Jesus Christ forever. An eternal union. Forever with Christ. And we become the eternal children of the Father. We are forever united to the Son and perpetually, that is, always, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Everlasting bliss and life in the very presence of Jesus Christ. An everlasting state of holiness, sinlessness, righteousness, joy, peace, rest, true love. And that love passing between creator, redeemer, and redeemed creature. World without end. Amen. What a sharp contrast. It's night and day. It's black and white. It's redemption and damnation. Get this inside. For what it says in verse 11, if we go back there. And such were some of you. Which brings us to our third point. We've been deceived by Satan, disinherited by sin, and delivered by the Savior. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but... And this is a strong but in the Greek. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, all of those in the Corinthian church, all of them had once lived sinful lives. But God saved them and delivered them. And the same is true for all those who are in Christ Jesus tonight, here. And those who are not, he can deliver you from your sins and from the temptations and the sins which lure and destroy you. And so very clearly in this gospel message, I exhort you and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to turn away from your sins, to stop unbelieving and believe on Christ Jesus. Because we see now, in Jesus' name and by God's Spirit, as it says in verse 11, you too can be firstly made clean. You can be washed. Because if you're still in the filth of your sin, God's wrath is still upon you. We are still in condemnation in that case. But John wrote in his letter, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The holy and pure blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sins, past, present, and future. You see, this blood is amazing. This blood will continue to cleanse you. Christ's blood is the only blood that makes clean. So be washed in that blood. Be clean. Secondly, be made holy. Because when we repent and believe, see, God sets us apart from the world. He sets us apart as his own children. But he also fills us full of his Spirit. that we become holy, that we live more and more unto righteousness and die more and more unto sin. He changes us. 180 degrees movement in the eyes of God and in the testimony to the world. And lastly, made righteous. Because when you repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus, you will be joined to Christ forever, as already been said. And his righteousness, through that union, his righteousness becomes your righteousness. And the Father will declare you, listen to this, Christian, he will declare you to be as righteous as Jesus is. He will see you as sinless because of the righteousness of Christ. Think about it. And so, believer, may your heart swell with love and admiration for your Savior tonight. And backslider, do not be like the dog in Proverbs. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Drop the pride and the self-reliance and come back into full fellowship with your Savior. He says in the law, in the word, in the first letter to John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Not you are faithful, but he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, and he's speaking of Christians now, of all unrighteousness. All. Even those five times that you've really failed the Lord badly. And unbeliever, listen to the words of Christ Jesus in John 3 verse 18. Those who've been coming to church for many years will know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now read two verses later. It says there, he that believeth on him, on Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, your unbelief has been judged, and you have been found guilty already. And judgment day is not here yet. You're already found guilty for your unbelief. And there's only one place left for those who do not believe. So I would say now, turn from those sins which even now are pulling you down into the flames. Turn from them and turn to Christ for forgiveness, and he will freely forgive. Because do you know that God is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance? So we've seen now in this letter to the Corinthians, in this short section, that many of those in the church at Corinth had a deeply sinful background. I mean, they were more immoral and more godless than the others. Others might have seemed to be clean on the outside, morally upright, but they were all sinners and they all needed a Savior. And we've seen that we are deceived by Satan, we are deceived by our sin. It blinds us, the Bible says. But therefore, we are disinherited through sin. But those who turn from that sin, that cancer, that poison, and turn to Christ will be delivered by the Savior. So again I say, repent of your wickedness and believe on Christ even tonight, and you will be washed, you will be sanctified, and you will be justified. And by so doing, your eternal destination will no longer be the lake of fire, but glory. Glory. And you'll be called a child of the living God. And so inherit eternal life for Christ's sake. Amen.